know will change.
I'd like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
Listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans. You know what that means. Welcome to The Rundown. Lots to recap and look forward to. NBA trade deadline came and went this week. The Lakers strike out on their pursuit of Anthony Davis. Our beloved Charlotte Hornets strike out on their pursuit of Marc Gasol. What is ahead for both teams? Plus, has the Eastern Conference top four seed surpassed the Western Conference at this point of the season? We'll look at all the biggest moves. A super important weekend in the ACC, Duke versus Virginia Part 2. UNC looks to move into position with a game versus Miami today at noon. We'll go around the ACC and get you set for the weekend. All of that and more. Welcome to the only live weekend sports talk show in the Triad. This is The Rundown. I am your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by our regular panel, Johnny O, a.k.a. John Olszewski, and the return of Mr. Rod Funderburk. What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, welcome back, Rod. Hey. We missed you last week.
Thank you, guys. I missed you guys. Luckily, I didn't break any legs at all.
That's right.
I did see somebody break a leg, which was not good. And I tell you, the way she laid herself out, I was like, wow, she's casket ready the way she laid out. I mean, she had her arms crossed and everything. But it was fun. I also got kicked out of the tubing area. My buddy, we were there, we were tubing, and he pushed me really, really hard. And when he pushed me, I went through the matted area where you're supposed to stop. And then there were these orange nets in the back that's supposed to catch you. Well, I went through that, destroyed the nets, the whole nine. Went down on the golf course. When I stood up, the tube had nothing but pine needles and grass on the bottom of it. And here comes a big old announcement. We told everyone that there is to be no one on the golf course. Sir, would you please bring up your tube and turn it in?
Right.
And
oh,
that was for me, yeah, in front of everybody. Des, but I had a ball.
Des, this, it sounds alcohol related.
Just a little. Just a little bit. Just
guys,
a little smidge. I would never do such a thing.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on any of the topics we're going to hit you off with this morning. Sawyer Dillon, our producer extraordinaire in the booth. Intern Aaron manning our social media. Speaking of which, we do have a question of the day. It's not a call-in question. I want you to go to Twitter, to Sports Hub Triad. Who wins the ACC regular season? Who wins today, Virginia or Duke? You can choose between the two. We'll have Aaron report on that a little bit later on in the show. We're actually going to start off with ACC basketball today. Since NFL football has ended, I've moved that segment a little bit further down the line in the show. This is probably the biggest game of the day. Number two, Duke taking on number three, Virginia. And we will start to chop up this extremely important matchup in the ACC. But first, if you want to see the Carolina Thunderbirds at the Annex this season for only $5, check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Thunderbird deal. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com, click on the Thunderbirds ticket special at the top of the homepage, get your ticket vouchers, and enjoy hockey action in the Triad. Single game tickets are only $5 exclusively from Sports Carolina Monthly, and go Thunderbirds. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know if their win streak has ended yet. They were up to 21 or something last weekend when we were in here. But I am running out of those tickets. So they're good through the remainder of the 2019 regular season. Gobble those up. You can get in there for $5. I will recommend if you do use those, get there early because Scott Brand from the Thunderbirds told us that they have been selling out standing room only for the past couple of weekends.
Nice.
So if you got a ticket, it doesn't guarantee you a seat unless you get there and exchange it for the actual ticket and go in. So
I love to hear that for a minor league team.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They're doing fantastic. But yeah, fellas, 6 p.m. tonight, ESPN, number two Duke taking on number three Virginia. Keys to this game. Is this a game where you expect Virginia to win or lose? Because they will. I don't think they're going to have Ty Jerome today. I think he's still out.
God, that hurts right there. But playing in Virginia, that crowd is going to be wild tonight. And especially, I'm going with Virginia tonight just because they lost to Duke at Cameron a couple weeks ago or whenever it was. Virginia's going to come out ready to play. And I think finally, and this might be the only time we're going to see it all year, I think the crowd is going to be so crazy, and you know the game's going to be kind of fast, and they're going to be Duke's going to be getting stopped on offense because I really think they're going to pack in. I don't know what Virginia plays, but they should pack in a
pack
zone
line,
and let Duke throw up threes all day long. I think Duke is finally going to we're going to see him.
Crackle a little bit.
This will.
I'm trying to think. Have they been in an environment like they're going to go into tonight this year? I don't think they really have.
No, and yeah. they are still 18 and 19 year old kids. It's going to happen, and I think tonight it's going to happen.
So Johnny, tonight is the night.
Tonight's the night, but it probably is the only night because once we get talking about a little more about Duke, that is one hell of a team, man.
They are. I will say they are the worst 3-point shooting team in the ACC, which I thought was not 3-point. Yeah, no, they're down to the bottom, but they're also the worst free throw shooting team in the ACC. Yeah.
Figure that out.
Their transition points and their points in the paint are just ridiculous. I mean, Barrett and Williamson, they're both the top two leaders in ACC point scoring now. Yeah. I think Barrett's at 23 points a game. Williamson's like 22 points a game. I think Virginia has an opportunity to win this game. I really do, especially if they play great defense. But what they're going to have to do is, like you said, Johnny, they're going to have to jam that lane. They're going to have to create spacing problems for Duke so that Duke can't get that spacing and be able to drive and get it into Williamson or cutting Barrett coming in.
And Virginia can do that.
They can. The only thing I see about that is, although they can do that, Duke, their athleticism is just ridiculous. I mean, Utah, they have freakish athletes at Duke. And when you're going in there to jam it up, they got to be able to roll over, transition over, double team somebody. And it's going to be a big test for Virginia's defense tonight. But I think the difference maker, the X factor in this game, and I think Duke wins it, although I don't want him to, is Trey Jones.
Yep, it is.
He's back. This guy plays great defense.
He does.
He is the true general out there.
That's what I was going to say about Duke. They also play defense. I mean,
they're one of the top defenses in the country.
This is a team that is actually playing defense this year. Because these past teams that were loaded with all these freshmen, they weren't playing defense, man.
No.
They were just trying to outscore people. They got defense, and you're right. Trey Jones is the catalyst of that defense.
Oh,
I've never seen a guy play defense like that.
So I got a question then. So because the first game, the Cavs, they only shot 3 for 17 from 3-point range and still had a chance to win at the end. It was January 19th, my birthday, and they lost 72-70 in Durham.
Mm-hmm.
That was a game where Duke did not have Trey Jones.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, Duke did not shoot well from the 3-point line either.
Right, yeah. They didn't shoot very well. They never really
haven't
very well from 3-point line. It's really more – it's like their offense is R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. Cam Reddish, he's so inconsistent. He has a 20-point game one night, then he's like invisible the next, so I don't really count him as one of their main scorers.
Yeah.
It really comes down to stopping R.J. and Zion, and it seems like most of their points are in the paint where they're just driving into it. I think to beat this Duke team, you have to get one of them in foul trouble early, get them off the court.
I agree with you.
Because Duke is not very deep in terms of once you get past that starting five, then you start dipping into like Javon Delorier and Jack White.
Agree,
and
100%.
If you can get those guys on the court, you got a better chance of winning than if you've got the starting five out there for most of the game.
You look at their box score after every game, and you look at the top five, and then they usually play eight guys.
Yeah.
I guess. Once in a while, Bolden will pop
I think he's been starting. I think he's been starting lately.
Oh, that's right.
But which is good for him. He should have been doing that last year.
But their bench points are basically less than 10 points.
Alex O'Connell, those kind of guys. Yeah. Like that's why I'm just as a Carolina fan, I'm licking my chops for when we do see Duke because we do have a deeper bench, I think, and hopefully. Leaky Black will be back by the time we run across Duke. And I guess 2 weeks, it's actually kind of late this year that we see Duke. And it'll be squashed together, those two games.
And I agree with you there. You got to be physical with Duke in order to beat those guys. I mean, because that athleticism, their size, what they will do because they are young players, they will go back after you if you get physical with them. And to your point, Dez, that is what's going to get them in foul trouble.
Yeah.
But I just want to go back to the Trey Jones impact. I mean, Trey Jones... This game could possibly come down to who plays the best defense tonight. Because even when you look at Trey Jones, I mean, he has the ability to lock down whoever the ball handler is for the other team. Even if he does not record a steal off the ball handler, his pressure is so great that if someone tries to pass it, he usually causes the ball handler to make a bad pass.
All game long.
Which turns into what? great transition offense for Duke.
Zion turns 60 dunks.
Bingo, which turns into Zion Williamson being on Twitter, ESPN, the highlights, the whole nine.
You see how much they hyped the missed dunk he had last weekend? I'm just like, are you? I mean, I understand he's a great kid. I love Zion Williamson as a person, but I think the coverage has gotten to the point where it's gotten a bit out of hand. And I've said this before. I'm more worried about him. Like I'm more worried that after he leaves Duke, that the hype that's been built on him, everyone keeps saying, oh, he's met the hype. All right, cool. He leaves, goes to the NBA. Now he's a 285-pound kid having to play 82 games and back-to-back games and things like that. I'm just worried. I'm worried about his knees because I don't know of anybody that has been able to carry that weight for a long amount of time. Actually, me and Aaron were sitting in the booth yesterday, and he mentioned Sean Kemp as a comparison to mm-hmm. Zion. Yep. And I think everybody remembers how Sean Kemp ended in Cleveland. Bloated, 300-plus pounds, couldn't really get off the ground. But Sean Kemp might be the perfect example of Zion Williamson in terms of if you think of Sean Kemp's first 3-4 years in the league, Sean Kemp was nice. Yeah. Like he was about 2 inches taller. He's 6'10".
He was a monster.
He was a man.
He would dunk on anybody. I mean, he had incredible hops. He kind of resembles Zion's game, even like not just the dunks, but just what he was doing in the paint and how he would mm-hmm. score. He would slash on people. I think that's the best example of what he might be. But do you think this Blue Devils team is overhyped, or do you think that they've met the hype that they've been receiving because they are all over ESPN right now?
Well, ESPN overhypes everything. You know, I mean, let's talk about Anthony Davis trades and all that, which we're going to get into. Yeah. But they're the best team in the nation, though. You know. If you look at it, they are the best team in the nation. They should win the national championship. I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, I would like to see them play Tennessee because I'm kind of partial to Tennessee as being the best team in the nation right now.
It's regular season.
Yeah, it is regular season. No, I don't think Duke is too hype, especially for the competition really that's out there right now. If you look at the competition, you know, across the board, I don't think Duke is overhyped. Matter of fact, I prefer Duke to be overhyped being a Carolina fan. You know what I mean?
Talk to him.
Yeah, because being a Carolina fan, you know, we get a chip on our shoulders whenever Duke is always hyped and overhyped. Whereas we, as Carolina basketball team, we perform at a much worse level when we are overhyped and ranked in the top five.
Agreed.
And that's something that I've noticed about Carolina. But to go back to Duke, no, they have a heck of a team. Coach K did a great job on his recruiting class this year, and I'm so excited that he's going to have to try and do it again because these guys are leaving. You know,
I can safely say the class coming in behind this class is not as good as the class that's there right now, and I'm pretty sure all of them will be leaving except for Joey Baker, who's I think he's going to redshirt or whatever. He never gets on the court. So
the scary thing about these Duke freshmen, they all get along so well.
They
have chemistry. None of these other Duke teams had that much chemistry. I'm not saying that. I mean, they had some chemistry. I mean, when you got a Coach K coaching, but this team seems right.
Well, that's how they all ended up at Duke. According to the story, I think Trey Jones was the first one to commit, and he kind of started this chain of like communicating with RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson
like
and Cam
NBA.
Reddish. Yeah, basically, it was like high school collusion sort of, and so they knew each other from on like AAU circuits and stuff like that, and they were constantly talking to each other the year before they got here. So there is a difference in their play because they are friends and they do know each other. Whereas like last year's Duke team with like Marvin Bagley and those kids, they didn't know each other like that. They were just top recruits. Plus, remember Bagley came in after they had got what's his name? The other guy that was down in the paint.
Oh my gosh.
I forgot his name already.
Oh, you're talking about Wendell Carter.
Wendell Carter.
Yeah.
Wendell Carter Jr. was the main post recruit for them.
And then
they signed Bagley. Remember, like in August, he popped up at Duke. So like there was some issues from the very beginning, and you had a senior Grayson Allen on that team. There was a lot of mismatched parts, but this year's team fits together like a glove.
They haven't played Carolina yet. You know?
They have not played Carolina
yet. Twice.
And Carolina's playing their best ball of the year. We're going to talk about them in a bit, too, because they take on Miami at noon today. Let me get Ed on the line, and then I'll get you guys' opinions on who's going to win this game today. Ed, out of Winston-Salem, wanted to call in and talk about Carolina and Duke. What's going on, Ed? You're on the rundown.
Yeah. I echo all your sentiments you're talking about. That last game, that was just totally ridiculous the way I'm surprised that Tony Bennett didn't make some type of adjustment as far as the zone or making. That's the only way Virginia will beat Duke is make jump shooters out of them. They can't let them just, you know, shred them apart in, you know, in the middle like they did last year, or last month, I'm sorry. But anyway, I was going to ask you guys what you thought about Carolina and Virginia coming up, and also about the possibility, since Tony Bennett did coach 10 years ago at Washington State in the Pac-12, there was an opening at UCLA, and in all likelihood, there may be an opening at Arizona with everything that's going on with Sean Miller and all his three assistants that's been involved in different alleged violations. So I'd like you guys' take on that, please.
Sure. Thanks, Ed. Thanks for the call. That's actually a great segue, because I do have written down here a question to ask you guys. Is Tony Bennett overrated as a coach? Because he's dominated the ACC regular season. He's won, I think, a couple of ACC tournaments, but he's come up short in March, not just last year. He's never made a Final Four. I think the furthest he's gotten is an Elite Eight, I think.
And it was Syracuse that knocked him off. Remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, and they had Syracuse by like 16 points, and we pressed them and ended up going to the Final Four.
That's right.
Very good Virginia team.
That's right.
But that's happened to them a couple times.
See, and that's my point, because I see people and hear people all the time talk about how Tony Bennett should be considered an elite coach, and I always fire back with, well, what has he won? I mean, he's won the ACC regular season and a couple of tournaments in there, but in March he hasn't done anything, and that's just, I mean, I'm sorry, that's how we rate college coaches. What have you done in March? How many Final Fours have you gone to? How many championships have you gone to?
And there's something else that I look at, too. I completely understand how many championships you won, what have you done. The other thing that I do look at is the players that he has. I mean, can we name all of Virginia players? If we switch a Carolina team and put Tony Bennett as a coach, or that Duke team and put Tony Bennett as a coach, then the question is, how far do they go? Yeah. You know, to me, Tony Bennett takes average guys. Like, he has a team that has like 9 freshmen and sophomores now.
But they stick around for a couple
years. They stick around for 4 years.
They do. They do stick around, but they're never, ever big names because he gets them to play a team ball in a system. And so it's kind of hard to say. I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't turn this guy down if I had an open coaching position somewhere.
You know
what I mean?
Well, that leads to Ed's question. I mean, if you were Tony Bennett, would you leave the program you just built to Virginia to go to UCLA, which is a blue blood?
No.
I don't think so. I think that's a lot of pressure.
I look at it like a Dabo Sweeney to Alabama thing.
Good point.
He is building. Yeah. Virginia is one of the top programs in the country right now.
Every year
he's
they're
already
on the
map. Built it there. Now he's going to keep, and he's keeping it there. He really is. But he's got to. He wins a lot of ACC championships, like we were saying. Yeah. But if he can just get to a Final Four,
maybe he needs a little bit of help of getting over the hump. Because a lot of times, if you look at some things, you have great coaches. But sometimes you need that one or two assistant coaches that can help you get over the hump. You know what I mean? Who does that individual one-to-one work with some of the guys and players that you have that will get you over the hump. So, maybe that's what he needs, and he should look for an assistant coach who can help him that way. I don't know, but I think Tony Bennett's a great coach. I like him.
He is, and what a person. He's got a great personality, obviously.
Yeah, I like Tony.
He's class, maybe the classiest coach in the ACC. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of class in the ACC. I'm not putting anyone down, but he just has it, oozes out of him.
Yeah.
And you see him on TV. He's a good-looking guy, by the way. I mean, my girlfriend Kim thinks, "Oh, there's Tony Bennett." He's pretty easy to look at, but he does. I don't think he's overhyped. I think he's overrated. I think he's outstanding coach.
Yeah.
So here's what's happening starting today. Virginia and Duke enter the showdown today at 6. They're in a three-way tie with North Carolina atop the ACC standings. All three of the teams are 8-1. After the game today, the Cavaliers will have one day off, and then they have to travel to Chapel Hill to take on Carolina on Monday night. Duke actually plays Tuesday night. They're on the road at number 16 Louisville. So basically, you've got Carolina playing Miami and then Virginia. Well, you got Miami and then Virginia. I want to say both of those are at home. I can't remember if the Miami game is at home today or not.
It is.
So Carolina's got two home games in the next 2 days. Virginia's got Duke at home, and then they've got to go travel and play Carolina in Chapel Hill.
That's brutal.
And Duke has to go travel and play Virginia on the road and then go play a road game against Louisville 3 days later. So when we get to Tuesday night, who is going to be leading the ACC standings?
Great question. But, I'm just thinking, can you imagine if Virginia wins tonight and Monday?
Josh Graham called that. He thinks they're going to win both without Ty Jerome.
Gosh.
So I'm like, I don't know.
I don't agree with him on
that. I don't think that's going to happen. Both of them?
I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it. Carolina is playing some serious basketball.
Ever since that blowout from Louisville going on 3 weeks ago, Carolina has been on fire, and a lot of it's been – attributed to amped up defensive play. They've been in the passing lanes. They've been just active. And it's not just the starters. The seniors have stepped up. Luke May, Cam Johnson's the number one three-point shooter in the conference
like
right now.
His game.
They're equipped. It's weird for Carolina fans because we're used to like two post guys, dump it in the paint, mm-hmm. go get the rebounds, that type of thing. And we're used to not shooting threes very well. But this year's team is a perimeter oriented team where you got Cam Johnson can shoot threes. Luke May can shoot
Kobe
threes.
Can shoot them.
Kobe yep. can shoot threes. Kenny Williams can shoot threes. I mean, they've got Brandon Robinson can shoot threes. Leaky Black can shoot threes. I mean, they've got guys that can put it up from there, and it's changed the dynamic of how you have to guard them because they're getting even more confident shooting the ball. We're going to get into Carolina and Miami a little bit later on in the program, but here we're up against a break. Real quick, guys, who you got tonight? Virginia, Duke.
I got Virginia winning at home.
Trey Jones back. I've got Duke. I don't want to say that. I hate saying that. It's making me sweat, but I still have Duke.
Based on the bet that was put on the drive between me and Josh Graham about who will win the ACC regular season, I have to root for Duke in this one because he picked Virginia and I picked Carolina, and I need Duke to beat Virginia because if they don't, the only thing left on Virginia's schedule would probably be Carolina in terms of a loss, and I kind of need the Blue Devils to win this one, which – you're right. That tasted horrible coming out of my mouth in terms of like what. But yeah, I think I kind of need that because then Carolina still has two games against Duke. Duke got to go play Louisville. So yeah, I kind of need Duke to win this one. And we'll see what happens. But we got to take a quick break. Next, a little barbershop talk. Is Major League Baseball still America's pastime, or has a different sport taken up that mantle? 336-777-1600 is the number to call. Barbershop talk next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
You are locked into The Rundown. Desmond Johnson, Johnny O, Rod Funderburk in the house. Barbershop Talk, brought to you by Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle is repaired or serviced properly and in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves in commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting and friendly environment. Go see Mac at Haviline Express Lube of Kernersville for all of your automotive maintenance needs. Barbershop talk, gentlemen. Major League Baseball. I want to talk a little Major League Baseball here.
All right. Way to go, Des. My son Lucas will be very happy. Well, said, when are you going to start talking some baseball?
Well, he might not be happy with how this segment goes.
Then he said, you guys cut me off when I was supposed to get my segment last week.
Hey, Lucas, thanks for listening to The Rundown, buddy. No, I wanted to put this in. I wanted to put it in early because I've been finding myself getting into random arguments, of course, on Facebook regarding certain sports things. And one of the things that keeps popping up is this whole Major League Baseball is not in decline type thing. I'm on the level of, it's not that I hate Major League Baseball. I'm just not a big fan of it at this point in my life. I was as a kid, followed the Braves in the 90s, Sid Bream coming around third base, beat the Pirates, all that stuff. I watched all that stuff and loved the Braves, but I don't really have a team to root for, I guess. So I'm not really into Major League Baseball. And the conversation has been around, you know, them being just as popular as the NBA or the NFL. But they have two major stars that are still free agents right now. Manny Machado, who was playing with the Dodgers, is that correct?
Yep.
And Bryce Harper, who was with the Nats.
Yep.
They're both still unsigned in training camp or whatever you call it in baseball. Is it training camp?
Spring training.
It starts in like a couple of weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm just trying
to think of a situation in NFL or the NBA where this is the equivalent of like Kevin Durant still being a free agent in like October, you know, like right before the season begins, like before they go to camps or whatever, and he's still not signed. So how big of a deal is it? Is it a warning sign for Major League Baseball that these two guys are not signed yet? And I'm going to let John start off because he is our baseball aficionado here.
Right. Yes, he is.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's a warning sign. I mean, look at it just like a trade deadline. These two guys will be signed before spring training, if not before, like on the day of or the day after, and that will give MLB even more publicity and big stories and all that kind of stuff. They will be signed. I mean, you know,
are they going to get what they're asking for?
Well,
Because Bryce Harper's asking, well, he was asking for $400 million.
$400 million. He's been visiting the San Francisco Giants. He saw the Padres last week. And if it, the whole Padre talk is Machado and Bryce Harper going to the Padres, which they have enough money to cover that.
Oh, wow, both?
I don't think he's going to get $400 million. Here's my two things on it, two scenarios on him. I think the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have not said a word in the past 4 or 5 weeks about any free agents, mm-hmm. okay, are just going to – they're waiting for Bryce to call them or figure out, you know, all these other offers, and he will be a Dodger. If he's not a Dodger, he'll stay with the Nationals. Machado, he's that's a whole nother story. You know, he's got some – he goes back and forth with, you know – you know, his personality's a little off. You know, he doesn't have a lot of fans. He's a hell of a player, but I don't see him right now. He's got $175 million on the table. I think he's looking for $250 million.
Jeez.
I think he's going to go back to that $175 million and probably sign with the Chicago White Sox.
Oh wow! Yeah,
I agree that I don't think he's going to get the money like, or neither one of these guys are going to get that big money like Johnny said.
Well, let me interrupt. Now, okay. Bryce Harper will get probably $350 million, not from 400. Who?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get three. I don't think either one is going to get what they want. I don't think Bryce is going to get $350 million.
Right. Yep.
I mean, I think this whole situation has just gotten complicated because baseball has changed. Yeah, they don't necessarily have the big old salary cap, you know, like the other two sport or main sports do, NBA and NFL. But it still gets complicated. Well, I didn't mean main sports, but popular sports in America. Let's put it that way. And it gets a little complicated because I think part of the holdup involves that recent collective bargaining agreement that just happened in 2017, which it established a more punitive penalties for teams that exceed the Major League Baseball's luxury tax threshold, which right now is sitting at $206 million.
It's
and everything that these guys want is way up there. So you have three teams that normally will go above and deal with the luxury tax, and that's the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox.
Yep.
And right now, you know, I think it's coming down to money. And I think these guys are going to find themselves, yes, paid higher than everyone else, but I don't think they're going to be at that $300-350 million mark.
You just hit it right on the schnoz, to be honest with you. Those three teams, Yankees are all set. Red Sox don't need anything more. The Dodgers need something. Okay, they have the money. They're not going to pay him the $400 million. You're exactly right. He wants $400 million, but he's going to get $350 million probably for like 8 years, 7 or 8 years. He's only 26 years old, so he's going to get the money, but he's just not going to be a $400 million man. So,
and like you said, they're young. I mean, these guys are 26 years old, 26, 28 years old.
I'd much rather give that kind of contract to somebody that's young than someone that's in their early 30s
like
or whatever.
Pujols got a 10-year, $240 million contract at age 32.
No more 10-year contracts. I think that's what... That's kind of the holdup right now.
Yeah. So I'm looking through the most lucrative contracts in baseball history. It's crazy we're even talking $400 million because the top one is Juan Carlos Stanton at $325 million, mm-hmm. And that contract runs through 2027. So that's he's still got like another 9 years on that deal from the extension he signed. The number two and number three largest deals in baseball history both belong to Alex Rodriguez. This dude made $500 million playing baseball. $275 million on the last extension. $252 million on the first extension.
Two of those contracts. Can you imagine?
Wow. Just one dude. Miguel Cabrera was number four, $248 million. Albert Pujols, $240 million at number five. And Tyler Robinson Cano.
And let's mention all guaranteed dollars.
All guaranteed money.
Every penny of it.
So, and I'm looking through because also with some of these guys, they didn't finish out these contracts because of, I guess, injury or they retired. So like A-Rod, of course, Albert Pujols, who he's still playing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's nowhere near where he was before because of injuries, but he's still signed for another 2 years, and he's still owed like another $80 million or something like that over two seasons.
Like
And then you got like Robinson Cano. He signed at age 31, 10 years, $240 million. It does not make sense to sign a 10-year deal like this to a 31, 32-year-old, right?
Yeah.
So that maybe they're pulling back from that a little bit. How old is... 26. Bryce Harper?
Yeah, 26.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a great age.
Yeah,
even a 10-year contract, but an 8 is closer to where probably these teams want to be with him.
Then you get stuff like Prince Fielder. He's got the 6th highest contract at $214 million, but it was supposed to run until 2020.
Yep.
He was an all-star both of his seasons in Detroit. then injuries, and neck injuries forced him to retire in 2016. Yeah. So he still has 4 years left on that deal where they're still paying him. Is that right? How does that work if he has to retire?
It's insured, I guess.
Yeah.
If he retired, I believe, because of injury, that money is still going to be owed to him.
Oh my gosh.
But, wow. You know, these big contracts are insured, you know, for these teams as well.
Wow, these are mega deals on the table out here.
Well, so, now we're talking about that. Now the NBA contracts are getting
they're getting there too. Like that, yeah, actually. They're starting to jump up to that. I mean, yeah. Mike Conley has a $168 million deal somehow. How did Mike Conley get
he was the very first one.
Yeah, and I remember when that name came out, we were like, what? Mike Conley? Why does he have so much? But my original question, do you think Major League Baseball has been surpassed by the NFL or NBA in terms of being the, I don't know if I can say America's pastime. Clearly, NFL is the most favorite sport.
Is it being covered more? You know, throughout.
I don't know
year?
Exactly what I'm asking, to be honest, because it's like
that's a tough question.
Because one hand, I look at it like Major League Baseball to me has the same problem that NASCAR does, where they're having trouble attracting a younger audience, like bringing younger people into it and growing with it. It feels like the Major League Baseball audience is an audience that has been there for 15, 20, 30, 40 years and has that's their thing. But it's hard to get kids. It's easier to pick up a basketball and go play basketball by yourself than it is to go play baseball by yourself. You kind of need some friends. You kind of need a place to play. Yeah. You need equipment. You need all these things. So I'm curious as to how you view Major League Baseball now. Now, John is a Major League Baseball big fan. Right. I know he's a huge fan.
And when I hear America's pastime, okay, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I mean, I grew up just, I mean, I'm still a baseball fanatic, but from the time I was probably three, I mean, I just played it all the time. And like you said, you know, going to the playground and stuff like that. But when I think America's pastime, I'm thinking summertime. You know? And it's just, baseball is the summer game, you know, it really is. And, you're talking from really, you know, it starts to kick in May, June, you know, all the way until October, of course, for the playoffs. I think, I hear what you're saying about the NFL and NBA surpassing them, but it's because of the coverage the NFL and NBA are getting. Now,
marketing.
A lot of their coverage is negative coverage, though, if you really think about it. I'm going to say half of the coverage for the NBA and half for the NFL is a lot of negative coverage. I mean, you know, people getting in trouble, this and that, you know, and then the trade, all these trade rumors, obviously, and they'll jump on that for a month and nothing happens, as we just saw. Now, baseball, when the whole steroid thing was going on, that was the talk every day, 365 days. You know, the media love negative stuff, and the NFL and the NBA have a lot of negative stuff, but don't get me wrong, the NBA, I think, they are genius behind their marketing because
I listen. The NBA has figured out, I think, better than any other major sport how to connect to people digitally and to get stuff out fast. I mean, just the past 2 weeks, we just had a Super Bowl and it felt like biggest stories were Anthony Davis might be traded.
Yep.
LeBron James is finally playing for the first time in a month. Boogie Cousins is playing for Golden State, and they can't
Super
be beaten.
Super Bowl week, and you mentioned Super Bowl week. This week on the drive. The NBA had the story.
They were the top stories.
And it wasn't even a story because it never happened.
Nothing happened.
Well, the NBA knows how to do it.
LeBron James, in particular, knows how to manipulate the media to do what he wants. This whole talk about him intentionally picking certain guys for his all-star team because they're all going to be free agents or whatever, that's a bunch of baloney to me. If you look at the guys he picked, they're the best players. I mean, he just wants to win that game. Like, a game that exhibition game in February is not going to change anyone's mind in July of where they're going to sign in the NBA. So Kyrie playing on LeBron's all-star team in February in Charlotte is not going to – he's not even going to remember that in July when he's having to decide if he wants to leave the Celtics or not. Same for Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson and all these other guys that LeBron ended up picking. It all just started because he picked KD first. He picked KD first. Giannis picked Steph first, which I thought would happen. So he needed a point guard. He picked Kyrie. He picked Kyrie over Kemba Walker. I mean,
Guys, are these guys just playing with the media?
Yes, I think they are. I think
every one of them
in the NBA. I think they are.
The NBA.
Yeah, I think they really are. They're
oh, yeah. NBA definitely is. And your buddy Kevin Durant just started back up again.
He did. Yeah. I was wondering if we're going to talk about him.
You know what? But I kind of liked what he said last night. I just want to play basketball. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's about the only sentence that I like.
I can't excuse that, Kevin Durant, because you knew what you were stepping into when you signed with the Golden State Warriors.
Exactly. Like, so they have to ask, are you going to New York?
They don't have to.
Halfway through the season when he's on a championship run, that would just frustrate the hell out of me.
I mean, he's been signing one-year deals ever since he got to Golden State. He's left the door open. Yeah, nobody knows where he's going to be. Yeah. So, I mean, sign a long-term deal. Notice nobody's asking LeBron where he's going because he signed a four-year deal with the Lakers. But if you're going to keep signing one-year deals and keeping your options open,
those questions are viable.
People are going to ask about your options.
Anti-Durant guys.
I'm not anti-Durant.
I actually like Kevin Durant. I think he's all right. I just don't like him.
I don't like it when he comes out and starts talking because he sounds like a little baby.
Yeah, go play ball, dude.
But listen, getting back to baseball, you know, one of the things you said, Johnny, is it still America's pastime? I think it is. And it's a generational thing that is usually passed down in the families. Mm. Me growing up, I remember being a little kid, and one of the first things that my dad gave me to play with as far as being outside was a red baseball bat and a white baseball. And I still have pictures of him pitching it to me underhanded. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that, yes, it is. Now, there's another segment to that of why I think it's also America's pastime. Of all the things in this country, you know, that people enjoy, you know, baseball is one of them that began in the United States. And baseball has the history. Mm. You know, everybody knows who Babe Ruth is. And not to mention, you know, whether you're a baseball fan, an NBA fan, an NFL fan, a soccer fan, whoever, baseball was a sport that initially broke the color barrier. We all know exactly who Jackie Robinson is. Mm-hmm. I mean, regardless of the sport that you love, we know exactly who Jackie Robinson is.
Frank Robinson just passed away this week.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows who Babe Ruth is. And then, you know, during the Civil War, you know, you go back in history, Civil War, you know, we were playing baseball even during the Civil War. So, I mean, to me, yes, when you look at the history, baseball is America's pastime. But the question is, you know, is baseball the most popular sport? Yeah. You know, so I guess it's just a question that you're asking, you know, which is a little bit different.
Well, I think we know that the NFL is the most popular sport in the country. Just looking at the ratings and the revenue they're bringing in. NBA's there, too. I guess, and we'll revisit this again because we're going to try to put Major League Baseball into the conversation as we go forward.
The NFL or just football in general?
I think football in general, because college football is extremely popular in the country. In some areas, it's more popular than the NFL is.
Yeah, take
Alabama. Down the South, yeah.
And tonight, you got the AAL starting.
We're going to talk about that, actually. This new football league that's going to be starting up tonight and tomorrow, actually.
We'll talk about that. Bill Polian.
Yeah, so we'll get into that, too. I'm up against it again, so let's take a quick break. NBA action. The Hornets are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Lots of movement in the NBA, but the big deals we were waiting for did not go down. Did the Pelicans make a mistake by not moving Anthony Davis by the trade deadline? And is the team to watch going forward the Philadelphia 76ers? NBA action. We catch up next on The Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
Going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
For the latest coverage of ACC sports, Panthers, Hornets, high school, NASCAR, and much more, visit SportsCarolinaMonthly.com for coverage of your favorite local teams, mid-majors, exclusive stories from our staff of writers, audio and video content, and more. SportsCarolinaMonthly.com, your source for Carolina sports. Follow us on Twitter at SportsCarolina1 or on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsCarolinaMonthly. And do not miss news daily. That is SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. I am your host of The Rundown, Desmond Johnson. Johnny O, Rod Funderburk in the house. Sawyer Dillon and intern Aaron manning the production booth. And we had a poll up on Twitter on Sports Hub Triad asking you guys who you thought was going to win today between Virginia and Duke. Aaron, do we have an update on that poll?
Yeah, according to our listening public, 64% of the listeners believe Duke will walk away with the win today compared to 36% for Virginia.
Okay, we'll check on that again before we get out of here towards the bottom of next hour. Interesting. People think Duke's going to go on the road and knock Virginia out. Hornets, Charlotte Hornets. Let's get into some NBA talk real quick, gentlemen. Hornets' remaining entire season will be broadcast on the Sports Hub, including playoffs if they make it. WSJS Sports Hub is your new exclusive home for the Charlotte Hornets basketball, and they are playing tonight at 6:30, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see who they're playing here. But the Hornets did nothing during the trade deadline. They tried to make some moves. They just couldn't pull them off. And
that's what they say.
Yeah, they're 7:30. I'm sorry, they play 7:30 tonight against Atlanta.
Yeah, I guess they tried. I guess you could say they attempted to go into discussions with the Memphis Grizzlies for Gasol.
They tried to get Marc Gasol.
Yeah,
it looks like they missed out. Toronto swept in with a better deal at the last second.
And look out for Toronto now. I mean, I know Gasol is like 34 years old now, but that guy can play in the middle. And Toronto's got some beautiful little pieces on their team. Mm-hmm.
They were trying to trade Kyle Lowry, from my understanding, which I don't understand, but they were. This is a weird fact. In recent seasons, the Charlotte Hornets have been consistent at making a trade before the deadline. Before this year, they had made 6 consecutive deadline trades prior to the season. In Mitch Kupchak's first season as the Hornets GM, he has failed to deliver a trade by the deadline. He was supposed to be a better option than Rich Cho. But that Rich Cho is actually making trades. So I'm not sure why they weren't able to put this together. But the Hornets, they didn't even really help their roster issues, because the roster is exactly the same. And then while we were in the commercial break, I didn't realize it, but the Hornets were this close to landing former North Carolina Tar Heel Harrison Barnes, who ended up getting traded to Sacramento in the middle of a game. Did you guys see that?
I did. I sure did. Yeah,
that was crazy.
And there's talk about that one of the media guys, not a player, was saying, well, you know, they told him before the game that it's a possibility that he was going to get traded. And then, of course, Scottie Pippen was saying there's no way he knew.
Yeah.
If there was going to be any way of him being traded, there's no way he would have stepped foot on
that court. He wouldn't have suited up. Yeah, that makes no sense. And then shout out to Harrison Barnes for being classy enough to, if it was anybody else.
He handled it well.
I mean, if you found out you got traded, like, in the middle of the game, like, what if Rod found out that we traded him to a different show in the middle of the show? Would Rod stay and finish the show, or would Rod leave?
What would we get for Rod?
I don't know, actually. What could we get for Rod on a trade?
No, man, you guys may get a pack of donuts.
But Barnes stayed on the bench. He sat. He didn't want to come back into the game, which I don't blame him for.
Did you know that he had just scored 10 straight points?
No.
He scored 10
Are you
straight
serious?
Points. See, and then they took him out. He said, what's going on? He went back to the bench. This is a true story. Hits 10 straight points. And he was mad that he got, not mad, but questioning, why did I get taken out? And they said, well, you were just traded.
In the middle of the game. This is why I get angry with people that say LeBron James is ruining the league. That all the players are moving around where they want to and all this stuff. These teams do not care about these players. If they can trade one in the middle of a game on TV
and then
tell him that he's gotten traded, and then we want to blame LeBron James and other players like Anthony Davis for wanting to control where they go. These owners don't care where they go. I mean, it's a two-way street. You can't be mad at LeBron for dictating where he wants players to come play for him.
But you got to admit, it doesn't it seem like the players are running that league right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I like it. Yeah. I like it. I think
I like it, too.
The players' union in the NBA is the strongest players' union in professional sports. Chris Paul's the president. LeBron James is on that board or whatever. And they have altered how players enter free agency and the type of contracts they get. I mean, we're looking at a situation where John Wall, who just signed an extension, a Supermax last year, it's going to kick in this year coming up next year. And at the end of it, I think in 2022, he's going to be owed $46 million for that one season. My man just blew out his Achilles, apparently at home last week or week before. So he's going to miss the rest of this season and all of next season when his extension kicks in. And all that's guaranteed money.
There's one of those guaranteed deals.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So it's crazy. But the Hornets, they're floating around 500. Let's do our normal weekly check of the NBA standings and see where they might be.
I was waiting for you to ask the question that you have here.
What's that?
What do you got for the question when it says Hornets didn't pull off rumored trade?
Oh, what's the ceiling for the team this year?
The roof. Just like Michael said, man. Just like Michael, the ceiling is the roof for this team.
Hey, the Hornets are in the seventh seed. I don't know what happened, but they're in the seventh seed right now. They're still they've lost two straight. They're half a game ahead of the Miami Heat.
Are they under 500?
They are. They're 26 and 28. This team cannot string together more than like two or three wins in a row. I know they had just done something similar to that. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They are literally the definition of a 500 squad.
They really are.
Yeah.
Now, there's a big gap between the first five teams in the Eastern Conference and the remaining, because the 76ers are in the five seed. They're 35-20. So they're 15 games over 500. The next team underneath them is the Nets in the sixth slot. They're 29-28. So you get an idea how far the Hornets might be able to go up. They might be able to get up to that sixth seed if they play well. But
I tell you what, that top four team in the East is legit. Those are four teams that could.
Bucks, Raptors, Pacers, Celtics, and 76ers.
Well, not the Pacers anymore because of Oladipo.
Actually, the Pacers have won their last four games.
Yeah, they've been playing fairly well without him.
They're still playing pretty well.
Yeah, they've adjusted well without him.
And the Celtics have. The Celtics are 8-2 in their last 10, and they just lost to the Lakers on that last second shot by Rondo the other night.
I still like the way they're playing.
Who, the Celtics?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they win the NBA championship this year? That city of Boston. I mean, do they need it?
You just hold on, man. So the Red Sox won the World Series. The Patriots won the Super Bowl. And now we're talking maybe the Celtics could maybe.
There's 10 championships since 2003.
The Celtics will not win the championship.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't see anybody beating Golden State right now.
No, either do I. I'm just. Yeah. I think they can win the East.
Now, it'll be between them and the Raptors in the East, I think.
But don't forget the 76ers that we were just talking about.
Oh, yeah.
What a
they just made. Yeah.
Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
So now.
A lot of people don't even know who this Tobias Harris is.
I joked at first. I was like, Tobias Harris? And then I went to look him up. I was like, oh, okay.
You look him up and you say, wow. Yeah. 20-point
score.
He's a scorer.
Who did they play last night?
The 76ers.
They played the Nuggets.
Holy cow. I mean, that lineup of the 76ers with Tobias Harris in there.
They look good.
It looked really good. And then Boban coming off the bench. I was like, this team is stacked. Mm.
So I maybe need to keep an eye on the 76ers. Like I said, they're 15 games over 500. They're actually tied for fourth with the Celtics because the Celtics are also at 35-20. The Pacers are at 36-19. So they're only a game ahead of them for the third seed. So, I mean, it's getting tight at the top of the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, over in the West, the Warriors have begun to establish a bit of dominance here. They're 39-15.
14 out of the last 15.
Oh, the Bucks still have the best record in the league, but
they won 14 out of the last 15.
Ever since they put Boogie in the starting lineup, they've just been a problem to deal with.
I've been watching him. I mean, it looks you can't even tell he was injured.
Yeah, Boogie looks like he hadn't lost a beat. He looks great.
Sawyer's a huge Golden State fan. Any concerns with the Warriors right now, Sawyer, in terms of – you know, or you guys just kind of easy peasy.
Yeah. But the Nuggets are looking good, too. Where are the Nuggets in the West?
They are second. They're right on the Warriors' heels. They're at 37-18. They're 2.5 games back. Then you got the Oklahoma City Thunder at third. They're four games back. Westbrook and Paul George might be putting up an MVP-type season if you haven't looked at his stats. Paul George is doing his thing. Portland's fourth. The Rockets fifth. We all know about what James Harden is doing. Chris Paul's returned, so – they've won seven of their last in their last 10. Then you kind of get into this murky. The Jazz are in sixth. The Spurs are in seventh. The Clippers are in eighth. But the Clippers have made some moves where it feels like they want to tank or something. Yeah. Then we got the Kings at 9 and the Lakers at 10. And the Mavericks at 11. I need to include them in this.
Can the Lakers slide back in the playoff contention?
I think they can.
With LeBron back, absolutely.
I mean, so the Clippers are 30-26. The Lakers are 28-27. So right now the Clippers are like two games ahead. The eighth seed in the West is probably going to have to win about 44 games. The Lakers can, if they stay healthy, the Lakers can do that. I'm curious about the Kings because the Kings did some moves over the trade deadline that I think somebody told me nobody on the Kings' current roster is under or over the age of 30 when they traded some of their guys.
Up there. Matter of fact, didn't the beard James Harden have a little spiff with one of the Kings? Players, one of the young guys.
Yeah,
he threw the ball at him or something like that.
Yeah, Frank Mason.
Frank Mason like slapped him in the face and then
yeah, he slapped him in the beard. When did this happen?
He went for the steal and it's Harden sitting there going between the legs. He swipes, but he swiped like up and it just slaps him in the beard. And Harden flops his head back and looks at him, and then Frank's like, dude, I don't care. Gets in his face, like, what?
Please tell me they didn't call a foul.
And then the beard.
Please tell me there was no foul called on
that. The beard threw the ball at him. I think they called techs on both of them, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
James Harden's having a rough go at the past couple of weeks. Because what was it? Was it last week we were talking about how he thought he was going to get fouled and got basically He just ran out of bounds. The ref didn't call anything. And he was like, that wasn't a foul. And the ref's like, no, it's not a foul.
That's how you average 43 points a game since the new year started.
Ram your body into people, get to the foul line, and travel at the three-point line and shoot threes all over the place.
Aaron. And you had that that instance where Giannis beamed him with the foot.
Oh, yeah.
With the basketball
that
a couple
was
of weeks
funny.
Back,
oh,
too.
They were like in a zone or something, and Giannis tried to whip like a one-hand pass through the lane. There was nobody there but James Harden's face.
James Harden.
Just hit him right in the face of the ball. And the play kept going on. James Harden's like, oh, my God, my face is fuzzy. I don't really care for James Harden if people haven't picked that up yet. I don't know why. I don't hate the dude. I hate his game. I really hate his game.
Yeah. I loved him when he was in Oklahoma.
You hear what Kobe Bryant said on that interview with Tracy McGrady?
Nah.
He was like, the way James Harden plays basketball, you'll never win a championship. Just said that straight out.
Kobe said
like,
that?
He was like, I love the way he plays. He's doing what he has to do, but you'll never win. Like, it's just
but
impossible.
Kobe would know that.
And they threw it at James Harden. And James Harden said, I agree with him right now because I have to do this because of injuries. Mm-hmm. But once, you know, now Chris Paul's back and then Capella's back.
Yeah, Capella's back.
It'll be a different ball game.
Got Wayne on the line in Greensboro wanting to talk a little Hornets. Wayne, what's up, man? You're on the line with the Rundown.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, hey, man.
Good. Wayne,
happy
how
Saturday.
You doing, buddy?
Great. Couple of quick questions for you and let you guys comment. One, the last thing I could find searching this potential Hornets deal for Gasol was the deal was Gasol would come here and we would send Biombo, MKG, and a first-round pick. And the problem with the deal or why Memphis backed out was the Hornets want to have some protection on that pick, not, you know, in case it was real high. And Memphis said, no, it has to be totally unprotected. Would you have made the deal with it being unprotected? And my second thing is I had a very interesting Hornets factoid the other day. Apparently, Tony Parker has missed 8 games this season, and the Hornets are 0-8. So you guys comment on those, and really great show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks for listening to the Rundown, man. I don't know if I would have gave up an unprotected first for Marc Gasol. How old is Marc Gasol?
I tell you what.
Isn't he like 33,
34? 34. No, he's 34.
We're 34.
Okay. Quick comment on that. Unprotected first round pick. I mean, what have the Hornets done with their first round picks? I would say let it go.
For Marc Gasol, though? Well, if they're going to give up an unprotected first, it needs to be for like Bradley Beal or something, right?
Beal stayed in Washington.
He did.
I thought maybe he would.
I think if John Wall hadn't got hurt, that Bradley Beal might have been more available on the trading block, but with him being hurt, Bradley Beal is really their main scorer.
Yeah, he's
their
man.
If you get rid of him, then you're really tanking. But
or add your buddy in on that trade.
Who?
Nick
Batum.
There it is.
They can't get rid of him.
Mentioning it one more time.
They can't get rid of Nick Batum.
Nobody wants Batum.
They tried to get rid of Nick Batum, and everyone's like, no, that's a bad contract. We don't want that. You're stuck with it for another, 3 years or whatever he signed for?
67 straight weeks we have mentioned that.
I thought they would have had to throw it in for Marc Gasol. So, like, to get Marc Gasol, they would have had to match salaries, because in the NBA, you got to match salaries up. So you had to find, like, $19 million in salary on the Hornets side to even produce a legal trade. The Hornets don't even have $5 million in space below the luxury tax. They have $3.4 million. So they really have to send out $20 million to make it work.
Picking up Gasol this year, automatic playoff berth, I think.
In the East? Oh, yeah. I think they would have got to the sixth seed and maybe got out of the first round because they would have been playing like Indiana or maybe Boston or Philly. I don't know if that would have worked out.
I'm starting to question whether or not the Hornets organization really want to go to the playoffs. I'm starting to question it. I mean, because like you guys said, what have you done with your picks? Let it go, man. Let's do something different instead of remaining the same. What's the definition of insanity?
Yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
They're trying to build. Just try to get some of these free
I don't
agents.
Even know if it would have made them that much better because they would have had to swap out like MKG or something, and even though they're weak at power forward, he's their best power forward. So, and really, he's playing out of position. He's not even really supposed to be a power forward. He's supposed to be like a small forward. They're not starting Miles Bridges.
Well, that would have gave Miles more time.
Yeah, the way that I don't think they want to go young. That's the thing. I want them to go young. I say play Malik Monk, play MKG, play Miles Bridges with Kemba, and throw Frank Kaminsky or whoever out there, Cody Zeller, whoever. Go young. Because when you have Marvin Williams starting and Nick Batum and these older guys, you're stuck in, like, you're not bad enough to tank to get a top 5 or 10 pick, but you're not good enough to play against Boston or Philly or Milwaukee or Toronto or any of the guys in the East to just get out of the first round. Like, it shouldn't be a goal just to make the playoffs.
Without any move, what does Kemba think? I mean, why would he stay?
I don't think
that
Kemba's
was going to be my
state,
question.
Man.
Should they be worried about losing Kemba Walker at the end of the year? He said he wants to stay in Charlotte. This is his home. He wants to help them get better. But if Kemba makes one of these three all-pro NBA teams, that kicks in Supermax for him, which means he could qualify for up to $240 million on his next deal. Does Michael Jordan want to pay Kemba Walker $250 million for the next 4 years? And then, because they're already strung, I mean, they're hamstrung by their salary cap already with the Nick Batum deal, and Bismack Biyombo is making like a weird amount of money, like 12, 14 million, something like that. So do you do that? Because it looks like Kemba is going to make an all NBA team. It's just any first, second, or third. All he has to do is make one of the three teams. If he makes that, that qualifies him for the Supermax. So if he doesn't, then he can leave unrestricted, but he can only sign a 4-year deal with somebody else, not a 5-year. The Hornets can give him 5 years. So what if you're Kemba Walker right now, what are you thinking as you look at your roster and you look at, you know, no moves were made, you're kind of in the playoff picture, but you're kind of at the bottom of it. Like, what would you
I mean, I think Kemba Walker probably really does want to stay in Charlotte. I think he likes the city, likes the town, the guys there, probably even likes the organization. But I'm going to tell you what, Kemba Walker's in the All-Star game. Kemba Walker's going to go to the All-Star game, all the All-Star festivities. He's going to start talking to folks like AAD, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Steph.
He's going to start talking to Kevin Durant,
and they're going to start saying, you want to be here and not win the championship? And they're going to make him think about that thing. They're not doing anything to build around you. They're going to tell him what's going on and what they see from the outside and let him know he'll probably never win a championship if he remains in Charlotte. He's going to think about it.
He is.
And I can't tell you that he's going to stay in Charlotte.
Aaron?
I think that's a good point. And if he should talk to anybody, I think he reminds me of, as far as career arc-wise right now, is Kevin Garnett in his Minnesota years. You know, Kevin Garnett is on record of saying, you know, I might have stayed in Minnesota for too long.
You know, actually, I thought someone told me he actually spoke to Anthony Davis and advised him that, you know, if I had left 2-3 years earlier from Minnesota, I might have another ring.
Exactly.
I wasted time in Minnesota because of loyalty to the Timberwolves. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had that conversation with Anthony Davis right before it came out that Davis's agent, Rich Paul, was saying that he wasn't going to resign, yada, yada, yada. So it's almost like that kind of kickstarted everything. If you're another team, though, why would you trade for 1 year of Anthony Davis, considering he's already said if he gets traded anywhere but the Lakers, it's just going to be a 1-year rental and he's leaving for L.A.? I keep hearing this whole, they're going to wait for Boston and then they're going to throw in Jason Tatum and all this stuff. I don't believe that. I wouldn't put Jason Tatum in a trade for Anthony Davis if I was the Celtics. B, you just still don't know yet what Kyrie Irving's going to do, because this dude's very wishy-washy. He's a very good basketball player, but it's like he changes on a whim what he wants to do. You have no idea if he's going to re-up with the Celtics. So why are you going to get Davis if you can't keep Kyrie Irving? And then, two, you're giving him all these assets and draft picks and stuff. He didn't even put you on the list of the four teams he wanted to stay with. So you're doing what Toronto's doing. You're basically betting you can convince him to stay once you get him for the year. But if you don't, you're out those draft picks, you're out Jason Tatum, you're out all these other things, and he gets to leave unrestricted to go to L.A. like he already told you he was going to do. So why would Boston put Jason Tatum in a deal? I don't understand why people think that this will happen.
I don't think that they are. I think that the Pelicans basically got pimped by the Celtics. I really do. And what I mean by that, the Celtics, you can't trust the Celtics in any manner at all. Danny Ainge, he might tell you that he's going to try and pick up AD. But whenever someone says that they want to go play with LeBron James, I'm sorry. You are not going to keep them if they want to go play with LeBron James.
Yeah.
Now, the Toronto Raptors, when they went after Kawhi Leonard, well, he didn't want to play with LeBron.
Right.
You know, so there's a difference right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the Celtics, you know, basically fooled the Pelicans and said, hey, we'll put this sweet deal together for you.
That is just, what?
And they stuck them.
5 months from now? Like, yeah. Just, I mean,
because they can't do anything until Kyrie Irving is taken care
until
of.
Until July 1st.
Yeah, yep. They can't do
well,
a thing.
Well, the Celtics fooled the Pelicans just like the Pelicans fooled the Lakers.
Oh, they. Oh, the Pelicans.
Everyone's playing everybody.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I've heard the Spurs have been involved in some of this, too, that Greg Popovich actually told Dell Demps at the Pelicans, do not trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Same situation with Kawhi the year before where he was definitely not going to trade Kawhi to the Lakers. So, I don't know. To me, I just look at it like wherever Anthony Davis goes, he's only going to be there a year. I feel even more so from Anthony Davis that he will be an L.A. Laker in 2020.
Well, it's like you said, Dez, who is going to pick him up knowing that they're going to lose him in a year?
Everyone's saying, oh, well, you get two postseasons with Anthony Davis. How do you – you can't guarantee – because you're having to give up a lot to get Anthony Davis.
That's right.
And the only teams that really had it were the Lakers and the Celtics. And the Lakers offered a lot of stuff for Anthony Davis.
Much.
Pretty much the whole team.
The whole roster.
Literally the whole team they offered
for him. I can't believe what I was saying.
They won't get a deal that big
in
the summer.
And then they quit playing. That was so funny.
Yeah. Just for that one game.
You know, in the end, though, I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? If these young kids Kuzma and Ball and Josh Hart and these guys, if they can't understand that in the NBA there's only 5 or 10 guys that are untradeable, it's a business. Anybody can get traded. Ask Harrison Barnes if you can get traded. And if they break apart and can't get it together for the second half of the season, then you're not built for this game. Like you shouldn't be a professional basketball player because this happens all the time. And they should have known when LeBron signed with the Lakers. Yeah. They were targets. Like, I mean,
absolutely.
They were drafted to be trade bait to me. You've got Lonzo Ball was the number 2 overall pick in the draft. Has he performed to that level?
Not even close.
Yeah. Brandon Ingram was the number 2 pick in the draft. Has he performed to
not
that
even
level?
Close. No. When is he going to kick it in?
I mean, they've been together for 2-3 years. I mean, why would you think you're not tradable if you're on the Lakers and your name is Josh Hart or Kyle Kuzma or whoever?
I do like Josh Hart.
Now, listen,
I like him too.
My question is this when it comes to Pelicans. What is the benefit on them waiting to trade Anthony Davis?
I don't know. I do not know. I looked at it like I would get rid of him now. I mean, I understand they don't want to do it and look like, oh, the players are controlling. Forget all that, man. Get some assets now.
Right.
Because no one's going to give you a better deal than what the Lakers just offered. Like 4 first-rounders.
Yeah.
Hart, Kuzma, Ball, like 2 second-rounders.
But if you really break it down, okay, Hart, Kuzma, Ball,
I think Zubac, or whatever his name was. I think he was in that.
He is kicking it in. Okay, yeah. All those guys were on the Lakers last year without LeBron, and they weren't very good.
They won like 35 games.
So, I mean, you know, why would the Pelicans, oh, yeah, give me that team.
He already got Julius Randle.
Julius
Randle's already playing in New Orleans.
Laker mm-hmm. team from last year that did not do anything.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's kind of a tough.
But also, do you want to lose Anthony Davis for nothing, though? That's my thing.
That's the risk they have. Now, they got to get rid of him. They got to get rid of him this summer because if he's on the team next year, then they lose all leverage they have because they're going to have to get rid of him by the deadline. Otherwise, they can't move him, and he's going to just walk.
Speaking of Lonzo Ball, LeVar came back in the
news. He did pop back up in the news again.
Talking like a complete idiot, as usual.
Trying to talk into existence, Lonzo moving to Phoenix or whatever. Aaron?
They won't get nothing for Anthony Davis. They'll get something for Anthony Davis. That's just the way it works. And then I know we speak logically about why wouldn't you take the Lakers' offer. And to your point, Johnny O, the Lakers – really aren't offering much aside from draft picks. And you can't – we talk logically, but machismo is a thing, especially in sports. And you can't get bullied into giving up your star piece. That's just – and that's essentially what the Lakers and LeBron are doing. You're not going to get bullied into giving up your – it looks terrible. Yeah. You're just not going to do it.
That's an excellent point.
Look, and they handled it very, very well.
They did.
They weren't even returning phone calls.
They're very petty about how they handled this.
I hated it. You know, being a Laker fan, I hated it, but they did well.
Coming up, a loaded ACC basketball slate this weekend. UNC is on fire right now. They've got a noon contest versus Miami today at the Dean Dome. That's going to be starting off in about 30 minutes. They shouldn't look ahead, but we will. The Tar Heels will face Virginia on Monday. That can go a long way towards determining the ACC regular season winner. NC State took it on the chin this week. They only scored 24 versus Virginia Tech. Then they allowed 113 to Carolina. In the next contest, are the Wolfpack going to make the NCAA tourney? Sawyer, you had something real quick.
Yeah, real quick. The comments made about LeVar Ball. I think Lonzo's obviously
better than LeBron, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I love it.
It's pretty obvious. LeVar the stats Jr. are there, you know?
Oh, I love
I mean,
it.
LeVar, I mean, it's in the genes. LeVar said he's better than Michael Jordan, so
he's
I guess
speaking it into existence.
Speaking it into existence. Yeah. We'll go around the ACC next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Carolina Monthly's Mark Zanetto brings you a new weekly podcast focused on mid-major basketball in the area. In-depth interviews with UNCG's Wes Miller, High Point's Tubby Smith, plus college basketball writers from across the region. Point Forward with Mark Zanetto, powered by SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. Episodes now available on SoundCloud, iTunes, and SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. And special announcement, that along with The Rundown will soon be available on Spotify. I did some stuff this weekend to get that going, so we'll actually be on Spotify going forward. I think actually this show should be on Spotify soon. Let's look a little bit into ACC basketball this week. Let's just run through the schedule here before we get into Carolina and Miami at noon. Virginia Tech, number 11 ranked Virginia Tech, at Clemson at noon. That's on ESPN2. Boston College taking on Johnny O's Syracuse Orange. That is at 2 p.m. I need to pull up
the up and down Syracuse Orange.
I gotta pull up the ACC standings.
They are driving me crazy, that team.
They're still in the thick of things for the ACC. NC State taking on, they're on the road at Pitt, Jeff Capel's Pitt Panthers. That's 2 p.m. on ACC Network. Louisville, this is a top 25 matchup. Number 16 Louisville taking, they're at number 22 Florida State. That's at 4 o'clock today.
I might
on
have to tune in to a little bit of that.
That might be one to watch, yeah. And that's a good game.
Florida State starting to play again.
And that's a appetizer for the main event. Number 2, Duke at number 3, Virginia at 6 o'clock, and that game is on ESPN. Miami at number 8, North Carolina. The Sports Hub Triad's very own Josh Graham is in Chapel Hill covering that game right now. And you can see some of his pictures on Instagram and Twitter from his coverage there. But a big matchup for 8th-ranked UNC facing Miami in a potential trap game before Monday night showdown versus 3rd-ranked Virginia. Who has been the key for Carolina during this 2-week run, guys? Because this really happened since the 20-point blowout at home versus Louisville in the Ding Dome a couple weeks back.
I'm going to say the two seniors. Cam Johnson is playing exactly how they need him to play. He's hitting the threes. He's doing all the things he's done. And being, you know, having that, being a senior, that's what Carolina needs right now. And I'm going to throw in, because I was questioning Luke May a little bit this year, but, you know, his last, what, 3 or 4 games, he's starting to look like the Luke May of last year.
He saw NC State, and that's like the elixir for him.
Oh,
if he runs across NC State, he's going to drop 27 on him.
He had, 29?
Yeah, I think last year he dropped 30 points.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this past game he dropped 31 points on NC State, and he had 12 rebounds to go along with it, which was awesome.
And it feels like when he's scoring like that, it doesn't feel like he scored 31 points. Because at halftime they were saying he was the leading scorer. I was like, really? I would have thought Kobe White was with the shots he was putting up.
But a lot of the shots that May puts up, too, are the shots that you want a guy like him to pick up.
Yeah.
The offensive rebound going right back up to the boards.
Yes.
And those shots come so easy for him when he gets down there in the paint and gets positioned. You know, I expected this from May at the beginning of the season, and I was really disappointed when he wasn't giving it to us because I wanted May to be the big fundamental like Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who walked on, and part of the reason that he did so well is because he worked hard. And in working hard, I just expected Luke May as a senior, he's going to put the fundamentals on. You're not going to be able to stop him, especially down low. And it took a while, but it seems like maybe he's coming around. And he played really well against the revenge game against Louisville.
Yeah.
And to your point, Cameron Johnson did as well. I mean, in that Louisville game, Cameron Johnson finished with 19 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, Johnny, the two seniors are really, really rolling. And I like what Kobe White's doing, too. He's turned into more of a general. He's not committing as many turnovers as he was at the beginning of the season. I think, was it the Miami game? He didn't have one turnover at all in the second half. I think he had 2 or 3 in the first half, and I think Roy got on him during halftime. And he came back out. He was distributing the ball. He was making sure everybody was where they were supposed to be. And he's really coming on. I like Kobe White. I hope he stays another year.
He's moved up into first-round mock drafts. He's still kind of mid to late first round, so I'm actually hoping he hovers around there and then he comes back. Nasir Little, he's still been in the top five for mock drafts throughout the whole year, even though he's not starting. Nasir's actually, he's starting to play a lot better. It looks like he's starting to, something's clicked. Like, he, it's starting to make sense. Things are moving slower for him.
Well, you guys, as North Carolina fans, me looking from the outside in, being serious here, Carolina, all the points that you guys just made, that's one team I watch that they improve every game all the way up until March. I mean, it's just the way Roy coaches. And, you know, you mentioned Kobe White. I mean, he looks like he's at the end of his sophomore year right now. He's really like that kid.
He's a 6'5" Ty Lawson that can shoot threes. That's how I describe him.
So he's 6'5".
Yeah. So he grew 3 inches since we saw him in like April.
He's like 6'1", 6'2".
That was, dude, he's too.
No, he's perfect NBA point guard size right now. I want him to stay. I would like both of them to stay. Just give me 1 year with you guys. I just love to see Kobe White, and I know we're still in the running for him, and we haven't got him yet, but Cole Anthony, if they can get Cole Anthony and Kobe White in the same backcourt for just 1 year, Nasir would start next year with Armando Bacot coming in. Leaky Black is going to be a fantastic player for Carolina. He's going to be a 3 or 4 year guy, I think, and he's going to be really good.
But we know Nasir's leaving. There's no doubt.
I mean, I don't know.
He's in the top five.
His dad talks like they picked Carolina. Like, there was a video out with Nasir's dad talking a couple weeks back where he was describing why they picked Carolina. And he was like, you know, Nasir didn't really learn how to play basketball until he was like 12 or 13. Like, he, most of his workouts have been like individual one-on-one type deals or exhibition games. He went to Carolina to learn how to play team ball. And he made a comment that I've held on to. He said, you know, if we were worried about the quickest path to the NBA, we would have went someplace besides North Carolina. And when he said that, I was like, okay. That makes me think that it's not so much, even if he is projected top five, it's not so much of a big deal for the Littles for him to get to the NBA as fast as he can. It's more about him learning how to play. I'd rather him stay a year, drop three spots or whatever, and go eighth and play 12 years in the NBA than leave a year early.
Yeah, and not only that, Dez, if you drop eight spots, I mean, you could end up at a, I don't know,
a decent team
like a Wizards or a
Charlotte Hornets.
You know, or in this case, the way the Lakers are going, you could end up with the Lakers.
That's right. And he would fit in well for a team like that. I think Nasir's not going to be a guy that you can like build a whole franchise around, but he's going to be a great second or third piece for a team that already has a guy that's their main scorer or whatever, because he's super athletic, can jump out of the gym. He's learning to play defense a little better. I've been really impressed with Cam Johnson the past 2 weeks. It feels like him and Kenny Williams in particular have stepped up to this leadership role that they needed to fill in. Cam Johnson is jacking threes from everywhere, and it's gotten to a point where instead of me wishing it goes in or hoping it goes in, I expect it to go in when he shoots it. And when you get to that point, that Steph Curry point where you just expect it to go in when you shoot it up, Carolina's a dangerous team. Now, this is a dangerous game playing Miami today at noon. I would not take them for granted, even though Miami is 10-12 in the season. They're 2-8. They were in last place in the ACC, but they beat Notre Dame on Wednesday night, and that snapped a 5-game losing streak. And they actually held them to 47 points, and that was their best defensive effort of the year. So definitely need to watch out for Miami and just make sure they don't look ahead to Virginia. Aaron?
I really don't think – I get it. Historically speaking, Miami has put some good teams on the court or some dangerous teams on the court. This Miami team is close to Wake Forest right now. Yep. Like, they're not good. So
Aaron, they'll hang for about a half, maybe to start the second half, and then they just get drained after
that. They're not good. I mean, they're just not. So I get it. You know, you want to say watch out for the trap game, watch out for the trap game. I don't think Miami is as much as a threat as people are making them out to be.
I would agree with that, because normally they usually have like some JUCO guys or something you never heard of, and they end up playing better than you expect. I don't think that's going down this year. I do expect Carolina to pull out this win, and then we got a big matchup against Virginia on Monday. What about NC State? Because NC State's gone the gamut this past week. They only scored 24 points against 11th-ranked Virginia Tech, and then they allowed 113 points to Carolina, who just blitzed them the other night and basically controlled that entire game. Do you expect NC State to make the NCAA tournament?
Boy, I would say no. Just, I mean, what? I don't understand how you can only score 24 points. I mean, there's something.
That is incredible.
The three of us could have popped in 40 probably.
Now, they play Pittsburgh today. It's on the road. It's at 2 o'clock.
Okay, I got a question, Diz. What's the average record of teams at the lower end of the spectrum that make the NCAA tournament? What's your average record? Like, how many losses?
I mean, at large teams, probably, 10, 12, 13, maybe at the most.
Yeah, I mean, because, NC State's already at, what, 9 losses?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to their record now to see what they're doing.
They're 16-7.
They're 16-7 overall.
Okay, so they've got 7 losses?
So they still.
Yeah.
But they don't have a win over a ranked team. I mean, they beat Auburn in the year.
Yeah.
But they were ranked, 7 then? Auburn's not ranked right now.
Auburn was 9, I think, when they beat
Auburn's
them.
Auburn's not even ranked right now. So they don't have any wins against the ranked team.
So, Aaron, is it true to say that you don't think they're going to make the
They don't deserve to make the tournament right now.
Well, deserve and actually sure get in there are two different things, though.
They probably got Duke ahead of them. You know, they would have to win some
right.
big
they got,
games.
They got Pitt coming up. They got Syracuse. Those are probably 2 winnable games.
Syracuse is not winnable. Wait, is Syracuse at Syracuse or
at State? It's at State.
Okay. Yep.
They go to Duke.
Yeah.
They got Boston College, Wake Forest, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Boston College to round out their schedule. And I don't think any of those.
The end of it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's right. not too
outside,
bad.
But outside of Duke, Florida State,
maybe
and Syracuse, none of those would be a quote-unquote signature win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, those not impressive wins if you beat those teams that, quote-unquote, you may be supposed to beat.
You know, he makes a very valid point.
You beat Wake Forest, who cares?
Because even if they – say they lose to Duke, which they will probably.
They're going to lose to Duke.
Say they lose to Florida State. And let's just say they beat Syracuse. Sorry, Johnny O. Say they beat Syracuse. It's in Raleigh. That's still – they'd be, what, like a 9-loss team? 9? And then count the ACC tournament, they'll probably not win that. So they'd be like a 10, 11-loss team going into – they're going to be a bubble team.
With no big wins.
Yeah. They need to beat Duke or at least Florida State to have some sort of – signature win.
Or win the ACC tournament.
Or win the ACC tournament.
Or
which
win
I,
a couple games.
Which I don't think they're equipped to do this year because it's so top heavy.
They're a year away. Their coach even admitted he's surprised where they are right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, seriously.
Yep.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we look back at Super Bowl 53. I know it was a week ago, but we haven't talked to you guys since it came on. I got to address it a little bit. The lowest scoring Super Bowl in history was Todd Gurley, Tarboro's own Todd Gurley. Was he injured? And did the Rams hide the injury? Plus, should Gronk retire? Did Maroon 5 bomb the halftime show? And how many more Super Bowls can Brady and Belichick win? I'm on double digits at this point, guys. I don't know what to do with myself when it comes to these two guys. Plus, Cam Newton started a YouTube channel this week. And some Antonio Brown news. Could he possibly be a Panther next season? We get into the NFL next on The Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party? Yeah!
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
NFL Carolina Panthers talk brought to you by Giada's Trattoria. Giada's Trattoria restaurant in Kernsville on Main Street with their signature stone oven, culture of hospitality, and North Carolina's best pizza. Giada's lets you and your family and friends share an authentic Italian experience with a twist. Everything is better by the stone oven at Giada's. I might have to go get me a chicken parm for lunch and watch this Carolina game here while I do some programming after we get off the air. That sounds like a plan.
And that is a noon game, correct?
That is a noon game.
For all
game.
The listeners out there, that is a noon Carolina game.
Carolina
tune in.
As soon as this show goes off the air, flip it over to ESPN and check out the Tar Heels.
Yeah, so everybody put your Carolina gear on. Bring us luck, baby.
So Cam Newton unveiled a new YouTube channel this week. It's kind of surprising he never had this before. But he unveiled a new channel this week that showed him before and after shoulder surgery. If you haven't seen this, guys, it's super funny as they gave him whatever they were giving him to knock him out. And he was trying to count down from 100 or whatever.
That was funny.
That was hilarious.
He was going out. You could tell the drugs were working on him.
And you normally don't see Cam in these type of like settings. Like he's really privately guarded in terms of what he lets out to the public. So it was a surprise that he dropped his YouTube channel. Do you expect Cam to be ready for training camp? The doctors are saying it was less cartilage damage than what they anticipated. Good. And they're saying he should be ready for training camp, which would actually be like July or really August. So, no, July. I'm sorry. First weeks of July. Do you think he'll be ready for training camp?
So on the YouTube, the actual doctor was speaking on it, or what?
I think on parts of it, yeah. Actually, because that's the thing.
You couldn't see the doctor.
Yeah, it was like his back talking to him.
Yeah.
But like that was the thing to me that Cam put that out, because Cam is very calculating what he does put out. And it would be one thing if the Panthers said, Cam will be ready by training camp, or if Cam tweeted out, I'll be ready by training camp. But by him to do it like this, where he's talking to a doctor, and the doctor is saying, you should be ready by July, blah, 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 that's more, I think that was done because at the end of last year, you had guys like Cam Jordan from the Saints and other players saying they didn't believe he was hurt.
Yeah.
When clearly he was. He couldn't throw the ball down the field the last couple of games. And I think they did it this way to show the league that Cam is going to be ready in July when they come back. So
I'm
very smart.
It then.
Yeah, I believe
like this whole YouTube thing. I wonder, it's kind of, I mean, you know, obviously YouTube's been around for a while here, but that's a great way of doing this for some of these guys.
Yeah, yeah, control the narrative. I mean, that's stuff like LeBron does this on Instagram a lot. He controls the narrative, and Cam is doing similar things. Around the NFL, also Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray announced he will be attending the NFL Combine in March. If you were a top 10 pick in the NFL draft team-wise and you need a quarterback, would you pick Kyler Murray or would you pick Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins?
I think I would pick Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins. I'm still – don't get me wrong. I like Kyler Murray. With him being on the fence about baseball, you know, I want you to be 100% in the football. Not saying that he isn't 100% in the baseball. But I also am old-fashioned. I like the size. I like a big quarterback. And to be honest with you, I'm hoping Dwayne Haskins could possibly be remnants of Cam Newton because he's a big guy. He's hard to tackle. He can run, but he also has an arm. And I think all he needs is a little coaching, get into the right system, and he can really develop as a young quarterback. And I would take a chance with Haskins, I think, before I would Murray.
Did you guys see what Stephen A. Smith – got into no. Friday regarding Dwayne Haskins? So on First Take on Friday,
more of a runner or something,
he basically said that he believed Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins was more of a running quarterback than a throwing quarterback. In 2018, Dwayne Haskins threw for over 4,800 yards. He rushed for just over 100.
He could do both.
He's not a running quarterback.
He can pass. He can pass.
He's a
the
passer
ball.
More. But the point being, Stephen A. was mistaken on what Dwayne Haskins is. He basically put him in that running quarterback category.
Oh, okay. Well, we're talking about Stephen A. here. He's like, Stephen A. will say anything.
We don't know if he, I mean, he's not as well versed on football as he is in basketball. I'll give him that. And I respect Stephen A. He's done a lot of stuff
for
people like us in the industry. Yeah. I can't think of any other African-American male that's received his own vehicle as a morning sports talk show on ESPN. So he did open the doors for that. Mm-hmm. However, you can't go in unprepared, and you can't go in saying that Dwayne Haskins is a running quarterback when he rushed for 100 yards for the entire year, and he was the furthest thing. Well, Kyler Murray is a running quarterback, I would say, before Dwayne Haskins is.
Aaron. I'm in agreement with you on. I like Stephen A. as much as anybody, just for his personality. You know, it's fun to watch. You know, that's why you got this atmosphere now with sports talk shows. Him and Skip with First Take, yelling at each other from across the table.
It's the passion he has,
So you enjoy seeing that. But this is probably the fourth or fifth instance where Stephen A. has talked football. And ESPN uses Stephen A. now for a lot of different things. They got him doing boxing. They got him doing football. And neither one of those are his quote-unquote forte. Yep. He has some questionable takes, or if not some flat-out wrong takes, and some concerning football last season with the Chiefs-Chargers game. There was another mix-up he had with Kareem Hunt playing the Saints. It's almost like he doesn't watch the stuff and just says some things when he gets on TV. So you got to – that's bad. That's a bad look.
Sometimes it's just, you know, just don't say anything, man. I mean, if you don't know it, just don't say
Oh, you know what? I'm looking – Stephen A. doubled down on this on Twitter on Friday. He said after people calling him out, they're like, hey, they got to stop letting Stephen A. Smith cover football. to which Stephen A. replied, why? Because I believe what I believe. I know Haskins is a baller, that he threw for 50 touchdowns last year, but I view his athleticism as more of a plus – i.e. scrambling outside of the pocket, etc. I don't view him as an ideal pocket passer nor the runner that Kyler is, period. And then he kept on going, Haskins is big time. I know this, and I'm not saying he can't pass, but I view him the way I view him, just an eye test thing. I'm not talking statistically. Make of it what you will.
Well, when he says eye test, obviously he didn't watch the Maryland-Ohio State game when they went into OT, and all they were doing was – matter of fact, they were down. Ohio State was down, and he threw them back into the ball game all the way down the field. So I don't understand. Yeah, he's an awesome quarterback. Matter of fact, wasn't he the third Heisman candidate?
I believe so.
My answer to that question is – word for word, I would repeat everything you just said. Everything you were saying is exactly what I think of this Dwayne Haskins.
Kyler Murray rushed for 1,000 yards and averaged 7 yards carry.
Like, he's very much like Cam Newton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay. But although Cam would take off, Cam does run more often. Right. He's built kind of like Cam. But this dude's, if I'm like the Giants sitting in like the sixth spot, I'm drafting Dwayne Haskins because then I could put him with Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow.
I can, and Saquon Barkley behind him.
Nice.
That fixes so many things for them. I can't put Kyler Murray back there.
Not knocking him, but still, I agree with you too. The whole baseball thing, if he goes to the NFL, he will be focused on it.
Yeah.
I don't like the 5'9", man. I can't get over that.
And they're trying to fudge that now.
They're saying
he's really like 5'10" or something now.
I heard he was 5'8".
Well, Stephen A. was saying, because he was on Super Bowl week last week, and I think they stood up beside each other to compare themselves. And Stephen A. is not short. He's like 5'11", something like that.
Stephen A. said he was 6'8" or what?
No, he was like, he's been very adamant since that interview that Kyler Murray is not 5'8". He's like, he's taller than 5'8". Okay. He was like, he's probably more closer to 5'10". But even so, I'm still taking Dwayne Haskins first. I mean, if I'm the Giants in that situation. Now, if you're like...
if I'm any team, I'm going Dwayne Haskins.
I think Arizona has the first pick, and Cliff Kingsbury is the coach there now, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Or no. Is that right? Yeah. And I think he said if Kyler Murray was sitting there that he would maybe go after him.
Well, he said it in the middle of the season when he was coaching college.
He's trying to get somebody to trade up to get that one spot.
Yeah. Because they just drafted a quarterback last year.
And Kyler Murray is not a first overall pick. He's just not.
No. Now, do you think Dwayne Haskins can get up there by the time we get to the draft?
I think so. I think Dwayne Haskins could have a great combine and get a lot of attention.
I like him. I like him a lot. And we've seen that every year. Too. We've seen it. Around this time, it's always like a defensive guy's on the top of the board. And then over the next 2 months after the combine, you see guys that are quarterbacks leapfrog towards the top. We saw it last year with, what's his name? Plays in Cleveland. Heisman Trophy winner.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. He wasn't the number one pick in February last year.
But again, he had a great pro day, too.
He had a great pro day.
And that makes a difference. When they come to your school and they watch you, they set up just for you, you're in your environment, and you can do your pro day right there on your practice field using your guys as receivers. I mean, it makes a huge difference.
Let me real quick, NFL end of the season awards here. Yay or nay on if you guys agree with this. I can see intern Aaron out of the corner of my eyes.
You already know.
I see him out of the corner of my eyes with what I'm going to ask
you.
Ask
the question.
Patrick Mahomes, he won the league MVP. Are we good with this? Think he was going to be
cool
the guy? You're good with it, Sawyer? Okay.
We knew that.
Aaron,
you
okay?
How could you not be?
Why,
Aaron, we've agreed.
Why should Patrick Mahomes have been? Why should he have been the MVP this year, Aaron? I'll give you 20 seconds here.
50-5. That's it. I don't need the whole 20 seconds. He threw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
That's right.
Only the second quarterback in NFL history to accomplish the feat. He's the only quarterback to ever throw for 50-5 in both college and the NFL.
I told him I was going to give a little bit of time to go in. He's been waiting all show to get to this. Now, Mahomes becomes the youngest MVP since Dan Marino.
Nice.
Let's see. So who else here in the NFL honors who won some stuff here?
Defensive player of the year.
Defensive player of the year was Aaron Donald.
Absolutely.
I'm agreeing with that.
100%.
Rookie of the year, running back Saquon Barkley from the Giants.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Back to Aaron.
And then coach of the year.
Back to Aaron Donald. Is he the one that said that they stopped Edelman in the Super Bowl? Or what defensive guy from the Rams said?
Did they?
Yeah, I don't think anybody said
it. Did they stop
somebody said
somebody
that?
Somebody, I swear it was Aaron Donald.
No, he did. He had a better first half than he had second half.
I'm looking for comeback player of the year, Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How about that dude, man? I'm happy for that guy.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame class was announced. Champ Bailey, Pat Bowlen, Gil Brandt, Tony Gonzalez, Ty Law, Kevin Mawai, Ed Reed, and Johnny Robinson. I think Ed Reed and Champ Bailey are first ballot. I think Tony Gonzalez is Tony first Gonzalez ballot, too.
You said Champ Bailey, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ty Law actually was a head-scratcher for me. I didn't expect him to get in, but he did. Kevin Mawai was a center.
Hey, real quick shout-out, Jeff Saunders, one of our top salesmen here.
What's up, Jeff Saunders?
He's got a quick thing here. He's trying to say this, and he hates to say it. Tom Brady should have been the MVP of the league this year. For what he did, he won the freaking Super Bowl. Aaron, you got anything to say about that?
Yeah. The MVP's regular season awards.
I know.
It's regular season.
It is a regular season award.
And if you win the Super Bowl trophy, it's a Lombardi.
I think Jeff just wanted to get you a little riled up here.
Mission accomplished.
Who was the coach of the year? Matt Nagy, Chicago Bears, coach of the year. Bears. Are we good with that?
I don't know, man. I kind of like the coach out there at San Diego.
Who
was in the commercial, the Verizon commercial with the first responders?
What's
his name?
I can't remember. Anthony
Lynn.
Lynn. Anthony Lynn.
Yeah. Lynn, that's it.
Are you guys cool with Edelman winning Super Bowl MVP, or do you think you should have given it to defense Brady?
Yes. I went Gilmore.
I thought that that should have been a defensive player.
Gilmore had a really game. Good game.
Yeah, Gilmore had a great game. If it wasn't,
I think if there was a defensive player who was given that trophy, I think it should have been the Rams' whole offense. I'm
Dude,
serious.
What happened?
Their offense was terrible.
What happened?
No plays in the red zone. They never made it into the red zone.
And they gave Gurley the ball three times in the first half.
Yeah, real quick before we take our last break, let's talk about that real quick. Was Todd Gurley hurt in the playoffs? Because
I got to say yes.
I don't think he had to be.
I don't think he was.
You don't?
Because when he ran okay, right?
He ran so well that he broke Patrick Chung's arm. Do you guys not remember that in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
He broke Chung's arm.
That was very unfortunate.
Yeah. And listen, he did not miss a beat. Whenever they did give him the ball, he ran full steam. I think there was something else going on. After the game, they asked him, hey, big guy, was something wrong? What's going on? This is the time to tell people that something was wrong because you just lost the Super Bowl. So it's okay if you say you're hurt now.
Yeah.
He said, no, nothing was wrong with me. So that leads me to believe there was an issue with him and the coaching staff, whether it was a disagreement on philosophy, whether it was a team curfew deal, because this guy is the highest paid running back in the league.
Ever.
You give him the ball.
It's the biggest deal ever for a running back. Yeah.
You give him the ball three times in the first half in the Super Bowl. This is not the time to save anybody. You leave it all on the field in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
If you're out there playing, if you are hurt and you're Todd Gurley, I'm feeding you because this is a Super Bowl. Yep. This is it.
He got 10 carries like in the whole game?
Yeah.
Three in the first half.
35 yards or something.
I didn't understand that. And I didn't understand this fascination with C.J. Anderson. I know he had a great game against the Cowboys, but
they were keying in on him in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots were hitting all the gaps. There was no place to run for the Rams. And once they took the running game away from the Rams, they didn't have Cooper Kupp, who's their best wide receiver in the first place. Jared Goff looked like
he was afraid.
Yeah, he was inconsequential to the outcome of the game.
For Super Bowl, you got to throw him a little something.
And McVay got out coached. He got out schemed. The Patriots basically
coaches everybody.
He gave him 2 weeks. He gave Belichick 2 weeks to figure out how to stop you. So we need to give credit to Bill Belichick because in a span of 3 weeks, he took out the top scoring offense, the second scoring offense. The Patriots were number three. And I think the Chargers were four or something, and they took them out. So, he went through the best offenses in the league this year.
And they neutralized two of the top defenders in Sue and Donald on that defensive
line. That
was,
I thought, was going to be the key to the game, that they had to get back there and pressure Tom Brady. Tom Brady had all day to go up and down the field. They just didn't score any touchdowns. Aaron?
Sue has been a no-show all year. He was complete disappointment for that defensive line. On paper, it looked great pairing him up with Aaron Donald, but Ndamukong Sue just did not show up all year long. They got into Goff's face. He was continuously under pressure. They were hitting him the entire game. And then as far as Todd Gurley goes, if he was hurt, he had to continue to say, no, there's no injury, because then the league would have been up the Rams' butt about falsifying the injury report.
Mm.
You can't say he's not hurt. He's not hurt. He's not hurt. And then after the game, say, he was hurt.
See, that was my point. Because he was out the last couple weeks of the regular season with a leg injury.
Knee injury, right.
And then he came back for the divisional round, and that was the Cowboy game. Mm-hmm. And C.J. Anderson just had a great game, so he didn't play that much, and people started questioning it then. But to Aaron's point, you're right. You can't fake an injury. You can't not
non-disclosed
injury. Yeah, or it's a huge penalty for the Rams. And if you're going to the Super Bowl, you want the Patriots to prepare for Todd Gurley, even if he's not going to play. Mm-hmm. But it just felt like the Rams just didn't have enough to get going, and the Patriots just had a great game plan.
Yeah, but still, even on the injury report, I mean, you can always put questionable or doubtful. I mean, you can always
do that. I think Tom Brady's been questionable for like 15 years on the injury report, right?
Exactly. I mean, you always do that, because then it keeps the other team guessing if you put questionable. You know, or doubtful for this game. Right. You know what I mean? That's how you keep them guessing.
Sorry.
All right, so I remember, like, you know, we've been doing these shows for a while, and I remember, you know, first couple weeks when the Patriots were struggling, it was kind of like, I mean, are they really that good anymore? You know, blah, blah, blah. Like, we all knew they were good. You think next season it's kind of that we're having the same conversation if they start out slow, or do you think we reflect on this season where a regular season it wasn't anything special, and then they go and dominate all the best teams in the league?
I can't speak for the rest of the media, but I can speak for myself. I'm not going to doubt the Patriots ever again until they just quit die. Like, whatever happens. Like, I'm just done with it.
I'm in the same boat. I mean, Sawyer, last year I was doing the challenge where we were picking a team each week to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, man, I was picking the Patriots when everybody thought they were going to lose, and they won.
You did.
I just was not counting the Patriots out and Bill Belichick. And I tell you what, if you guys have not watched that 30 for 30 with Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells.
The two Bills.
Yeah, the two Bills. You need to check it out. You'll have a completely whole nother respect for Bill Parcells.
I'm this close Belichick. To buying ESPN Plus, and it's mainly because of having all of the 30 for 30 library on there, because that was the main thing I went into the app to watch before, and they took it away from
the
me.
The Deion one was fantastic.
Yeah, that one was great from last week. Yet. Oh, you got to check it out. It's good.
As soon as possible. It's fantastic.
All right. I think they still have it on regular ESPN's app like right now, but it's going to go away here soon. Anything you've ever thought about Deion Sanders, it's top notch. It was great. We talked about it last week on the show. Matter of fact,
30s are so well done.
They are
prime time.
They really are done. Yeah. So NFL season may be over, but football is not. A new league is set to kick off here today. We'll take a look at the Alliance of American Football next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Salem Dash fans, BB&T Ballpark turns 10 this season. Join the Dash in celebrating a decade of fun by reserving your tickets in advance. The Dash's home slate begins on Thursday, April the 11th. Fans can begin purchasing single game tickets on Monday, February the 11th. That's this Monday, by calling 336-714-2287 or visiting ws-dash.com. Sports Carolina Monthly, I've had a couple of people ask me. This will be our fourth year with our Dash deal. We will have those on sportscarolinamonthly.com. They won't be available until probably around March. So definitely go there to get your Dash tickets like you have been the past couple years, and go Dash. This new football league, Alliance of American Football, is actually going to start tonight on CBS. San Diego taking on San Antonio. Atlanta is taking on Orlando.
On CBS?
Yeah, they got it on CBS. The first game is tonight. And then actually, NFL Network's actually going to be playing a lot of their games. It's a 10-game regular season schedule. The championship game is April 27th. And if you got questions about them, we're here to help you out on the Rundown. You can watch the two opening night games on CBS. Most of the country is going to see San Diego at San Antonio. Was it San Diego that had the uniforms we liked, Aaron? Was that the ones that we liked from yesterday?
Yeah, that was the San Diego Fleet.
The San Diego, if you haven't seen their uniforms for first of all, the uniforms for pretty much all the teams are top notch.
Yeah.
The San Diego Fleet's uniforms, we elected to be like the team that the Drive is going to root for through the season. And
nice.
Their uniforms look like North Carolina A&T almost. Like they're like blue and like gold with like some silver in it.
Gray. Yeah. They got gray pants, high yellow socks. The helmet was the thing that stood out to me. The helmet was awesome.
It's almost like a Michigan Wolverine type thing. Cool. Sort of. It's got like these arrows up the front. You got to pull it up online and look at it. But we picked our team. Well, me and Aaron picked San Diego based off their uniform alone.
I didn't pick them. I like their uniforms. Josh was all like, this is our team that we're going to root for.
We were like, all right, fine.
I'm like, I don't know, man. I might have a side team.
I need to see them play first before we do it. It seems like most of the big names in this league are the coaches. But there are some familiar faces in terms of players. Christian Hackenberg, mm-hmm. Matt Sims, Aaron Murray, who played at Georgia.
Trent Richardson.
Bishop Sankey, Denard Robinson.
Yeah.
So Denard Robinson played at Michigan.
Oh, yeah, he did. There's some guys. Sure
I tell you what impresses me the most about that league that I might tune in and try to figure out if it's going to work. Bill Polian is a big part
of
it.
He's the head of the league. He's basically the commissioner, so
very
to speak,
well
I guess.
Respected guy there, man.
So here's some rule differences from the NFL. So the most notable one, there are no kickoffs. Yeah, so basically if there's a score or at the start of the game, the ball starts on the 25-yard line. So the kickoffs have been eliminated.
And because there's no kickoff, you know, there's also no onside kick. So if a team is trailing, say, by 17 points and there's 5 minutes or left in the fourth quarter, you know, a team can attempt like an onside conversion, though, where they get the ball on their own 28-yard line and they have it to, fourth down and 12 to go. And if they convert that, then they get to keep the ball right there.
Now, that's crazy. Oh, so, let's stop there for a second. So there are no, like, kickoffs or whatever. So their onside kick is really, like you just said, you get the ball at your own 28-yard line and have to convert a fourth and 12.
Yep. Right.
That's how did they even get to that?
How
like,
about that?
Yeah. So
That's their rule.
And if you don't convert it, then the other team gets the ball. Yeah. At the point from the point where they were stopped instead of the 28-yard line.
Is this an overtime thing? Or
no, this is if you're down. If you're down by 17. You know how you're down and you score a touchdown,
right?
Oh, by at
least 17?
You got to be down by 17 or there's 5 minutes or less left in the fourth quarter.
5 minutes or less, yeah. So what happens is, you know how in regular football you usually kick an onside kick to get the ball back if you're just down a few points in time so low and you can't get the ball back, right? Well, instead of that, it's fourth and 12. And you have to convert that fourth and 12 from
your own 28-yard line.
And if you get it, then you hold the ball and you move on. And the reason that they do that is because there's no onside kick because that is one of the areas of football where the most injuries have occurred. And they're trying to take injuries out of the game of football. So that's why there's no special teams.
So if you don't get it,
we'll talk a little bit.
The other team gets the ball. Where you didn't get it at.
Yeah, one shot.
We're right up against it, guys. Yep. We're going to talk more about this next week for sure after they've had their first round of games. Real quick, Aaron, our poll on Twitter, who's coming out victor tonight, Virginia or Duke?
Take a look at it here. According to our WSJS Sports Hub Twitter poll, who's going to win tonight between Duke and Virginia? Duke holding the line at 67%.
Okay, so check that game out tonight at 6. Also, here on the Sports Hub, we got Charlotte Hornets basketball. That is at 7:30 tip-off. North Carolina A&T in action later on today on the Sports Hub as well. So lots of stuff to check out here. We are out of time here on the Rundown. We will be back next Saturday, regular time, 10 o'clock a.m. Definitely check us out on Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, and Spotify here coming up here shortly. So we will see you next week. This is The Rundown.